Hello and Happy New Year. I'm Jane Massingham and welcome to this ICIS podcast for January for oxoalcohols and derivatives. As usual, I'm joined by my colleagues looking after the derivative markets in Europe, Ishani Chavda for glycol ethers, Nick Cleave for butyl acetate, and Matt Jolin Beach for the acrylate esters. Well, what a start to the year it's been. I think all the signs were there as we finished 2020, but with only 2 weeks into January, the market has certainly hit the ground running in terms of oxoalcohols. The market is extremely tight, demand remains good, and so the spot prices are soaring, particularly for NBA at the moment. And there doesn't appear to be any real resolution to these pressures for the short term. So Europe's largest MBA producer, BASF, is still on force majeure. So the availability issues there are the most extreme. 2-ethylhexanol is also quite constrained, and there are concerns about supply of the feedstock propylene as well. Indeed, not all oxoalcohol producers say that they're able to run as hard as they would like, given the availability of C3. You can listen actually to our colleagues Nell and Linda talk about the tight supply of olefins for Q1 on the podcast that they recorded just a couple of days ago. But back to oxos for now. So some buyers already seem to be looking to try and lock in volumes for February. Pricing is still to be agreed, but there are some already a little bit afraid about the availability looking further ahead for March as well. And in terms of exports, there's a bit of a mixed opinion there. There were a lot of material moved out of the region in the second half of last year, and there is still some overseas demand. But I think just due to the tight supply situation here, we won't see as much moving, of course. And there are, on top of that, logistical and shipping issues. Demand domestically remains very strong. In fact, some producers are saying that they would wish contract customers could take a little bit less. But of course, they're all looking to maximize contract volumes at the moment and limit exposure to the spot market. And then there are, of course, those that are caught out and are paying some extremely high spot numbers for NBA. We've heard some cases of customers paying maybe 200 to 400 euros higher in January than they were seeing in December. And indeed, some players saying to me, you can't even put a market price on it at the moment. You know, you just pick a number. It depends on the locations, the relationships between the parties. So it's really a very, very wide band of spot prices out there in a very, very tight market. 2H numbers are also increasing, but obviously not with the same momentum. But even the smaller sort of isobutanol market has also seen some increases. But these are largely in line with the feedstock movement seen on propylene into January at plus 65. So this tightness really doesn't show any signs of abating, at least through February, as mentioned. And more customers, as I said, looking to secure product, and they're really quite nervous about so many supply issues and low stocks through the chain. So in terms of looking downstream to the other markets, Ishani, let's start with you. How are things looking at the moment on the glycol ether markets?
Thanks, Jane. Well, so far for January, spot supply remains extremely tight, and this is expected to continue, especially due to tightness in the NBA market. BG spot prices firmed by 100 euros per tonne last week, while BDG stayed relatively steady so far. But just to put that into perspective for you, that's a 22-month high for BG. And although spot prices have firmed, it's still been outpaced by NBA. Now, producers are realising that it makes more sense for them to sell NBA on the spot market than to use it for glycol ethers production. And while NBA prices remain high, this will continue to have an impact on glycol ethers availability. BASF is said to be out of the spot market, though this is not confirmed. Dow's constraints continue also, and though the other producers are benefiting from higher demand, I expect they will also struggle to meet that demand in Q1 as occurred in Q4.
Thank you. Thanks for the update. Gosh, 22-month highs. I mean, possibly, you know, not. We could see some more records coming up in the short term as well, by the sound of it. Okay, and coming to you, Nick, how are things now looking on butyl acetate? I know where it too has been seeing some real fast changes.
Yes, I think the talk of record highs is very applicable for Butec as well. The last time that prices were anything like current levels was at the start of 2017, when BASF was out because of the explosion at Ludwigshafen, and Oxeo also had a force majeure, which resulted in there being only one major producer left active. So it's There is again the same sort of specific impact. So BASF are out. They have the force majeure on Butac, following on from the force majeure and shutdown of their butanol production. It's not clear exactly what the status of the Butac production is beyond there being the extreme limitation of butanol because BASF aren't producing it and its tightness in the wider market. But it's not just BASF being affected by this butanol limitation. It's a more general issue across producers of butac, and even above that, I mean, as you were saying, that butanol producers are not able to run as high rates as they want because of the limits on propylene supply. So you have this sort of multi-layered constriction on butac supply that. BASF, one of the major producers, has a force majeure on butac. But even if that was resolved today, there would still be their force majeure on butanol. But even if that was resolved today, there's still a limitation on supply of propylene. So just as with butanol, there isn't like a clear sign of easing of pressure on supply in the near future. And demand has been pretty strong as well, not just from buyers searching to find what limited stocks there are, but in terms of consumption, from the automotive sector picking up the end of last year, staying reasonably strong in Q1, particularly compared with how it was earlier last year because of the pandemic, means that there's this good consumption and very restricted supply, which has been pushing up prices sharply for the last couple of months, and the situation doesn't show any sign of turning in the near future.
Thank you. Gosh, there's such a complex array of issues to deal with at the moment, I think. And that's the same, I believe, for you, Matt, on the acrylate esters. What's the latest situation there?
Yeah, it very much is so. And I think that multi-layered set of issues that Nick just mentioned has filtered through for butyl acrylate in particular. It's actually at 10-year highs due to the force majeure, not only at BASF, but Sasol at the start of this month issued a force majeure following an outage at the end of last year. And that's led to what has been described on many occasions as an extremely tight market. Prices have been soaring over recent weeks. The range we've got is sort of seen 300 and 400 euro per ton increases, and that's put it up to a level of about 2,500, 2,700 euros per megaton, and prices have been heard in the market of significantly higher than that. But many people in the market have said there's just no material available, and that situation is unlikely to change anytime soon. Whether it's dependent on BASF or Sasol getting to the end of the force majeures, or whether it relies on material being imported from Asia, which is now happening, which even in mid-December was seen as unlikely just due to the firm Asian prices. But now that market is starting to open up and material is on the water and on the way to Europe, but they're still at least a month away from relieving any of the pressure of availability for butyl acrylate. For the other esters, they're at prices that we haven't seen probably since January 2019. And again, those markets are all quite tight. The demand is particularly high, and for 2-EHA in particular, I've heard some customers say that if they're able to, they have been looking to switch from butyl acrylate to 2-AHA just to try and get hold of some product that they're able to use. So, yeah, it's an extremely tight market, and there are concerns that the situation is not going to be easing anytime soon.
Okay, thank you Matt, thank you all of you for your contributions. Always a very challenging time to assess the true sort of spot market in such tight supply situations, but thank you to everyone for listening. Please do tune in again next time, and for any further news please go to www.icis.com. Thank you.